Hey, welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, and today I'm joined by Stephen Kaplan, who's a PM on the Microsoft CRM team. Welcome, Stephen.
Thanks, Ron.
So tell me about Microsoft CRM. What is it?
So CRM is a customer relationship management system.
Okay.
If you're familiar with some of the other CRM systems out in the market, we typically appeal to lots of the same types of scenarios and use cases that you're familiar with there,
right?
Around Salesforce automation, service automation, marketing automation, etc.
Yeah.
But more recently, we've started telling a story that we talk about as XRM, anything relationship management.
Oh, okay.
But we think of CRM as a platform.
Yeah.
For creating a whole variety of line of business applications.
Okay. So really, years ago, actually, before joining Microsoft, I worked on a couple different CRM products back in the 90s. Okay,
yep.
Way back. All right.
Yep. Yep.
But you know, it's interesting when you talk about XRM, this whole idea that there are, in every relationship, there's things you got to manage, you know,
mm-hmm.
all the way from girlfriends or wives or
right.
whatever.
Right.
You got to manage those
yep.
things, right?
Yep.
On up to customers or suppliers or contacts or whatever, right? There's
mm-hmm.
There's things you got to do, right? So this is a great platform for kind of tracking all this.
Absolutely,
right?
Absolutely.
So, okay, well, back from my experience in the days of CRM, one of the big problems we always faced was that everybody has kind of their own notion about what they want to do when they manage these relationships,
mm-hmm.
you know. So you're trying to write some software, and you know, some people were just like, no, we're going to be prescriptive. We're going to tell you how you have to manage, and if you don't like it, tough
right.
beans, that's
right.
what you get, right?
Right?
And then other people were like, we'll just give you the source code, and you can muck around with it if you want to, which is a disaster.
Sure.
It's a really bad idea. But there was no good middle ground, right? Now, in your previous release, you
yep.
guys had, you guys had grappled with this, right?
Absolutely. So in our most recent version that's on the market right now, CRM4, it was a really big platform release for us.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the story that we want to tell there is that this is a robust platform for building your line of business applications, as I
okay.
mentioned. So if you're building applications that deal with data modeling, classic data modeling,
uh-huh.
and you have security, and you want reporting and analytics, and you want workflows, and you want these types of patterns
right.
baked into your application, we want to make sure that you can have us do the heavy lifting for you, and
yeah.
you can really leverage a lot of the pieces that we've built to build our own applications on top of.
You know what's cool about that? There are other solutions on the market,
mm-hmm.
right? Some of the other players are like, hey, we'll give you the ability to do what you want to do, this, you know, these customizations,
yep.
but we'll give you our own kind of proprietary, you know, funky environment, you know,
right.
learn your own,
right.
learn our language, learn our thing,
right.
and then you can do what you want. But what you guys have done is you kind of taken the base .NET platform
yep.
and SQL and stuff
yep.
and said, if you want to work at that level, you can.
Absolutely.
And then you can move up into another kind of more businessy level if you want to also.
Yeah, so you know, you can come into CRM and you can sign up for a 30-day trial on
uh-huh.
our website, and
yeah.
you can know absolutely nothing about .NET development.
Yeah.
But in just doing point-and-click customizations of our application, you're actually building a .NET application on top of CRM.
Yeah.
Now, if you are, as you mentioned, a .NET developer, we want you to be able to leverage those skills
right.
through some of our other extensibility points, writing custom code. We'll write some custom XAML workflows today.
Yeah.
And we want to be able to say that you don't need to be a .NET developer to start building applications on top of our platform. But like I said, you can leverage those skills if you have them.
Now, I'm, of course, the workflow evangelist. So,
yep.
you know, I think about workflow at kind of the lowest level,
yep.
kind of the .NET developer side of experience. But, you know, I meet people and we talk about, well, hey, you know, one of the things people want to do is they want to give business users the ability to kind of customize a
right.
process. And frankly, a lot of developers are very skeptical about it. They're like, I don't know if that's ever going to work.
Yeah.
Does it work for you guys?
It does.
Yeah.
So along the same lines of the message that I just mentioned earlier,
yeah.
CRM has built in version 4, and we'll talk about it a bit more in version 5, how that changes.
Yeah.
We've built a set of workflow functionality on top of Windows Workflow Foundation.
Yeah.
So not only do we have our own host and a bunch of custom activities that are domain specific to the CRM
right.
domain, we've also built out a custom designer
uh-huh.
that's built for your business types of users,
okay.
your business analysts, your salespeople. And so to start building workflows on top of CRM, you're building XAML workflows, but in fact, you would have no idea that you're doing it.
Ah, yeah.
So we think that that's a key part of our value proposition.
Excellent. Well, let's see this thing in action, okay?
Absolutely. So what we're looking at right here is we're looking at an early build of CRM 5.
Okay.
So there's still, you know, some icons missing here,
and
that sort of thing. But right now we're at the leads area of the application. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go into the workflows area. And what you have here is you have all the different workflows that are defined in your system.
Okay.
Now, I have a couple that I've built ahead of time, but why don't we go and build a quick and dirty example of a workflow to show you how easy this is to do.
Okay.
So a typical scenario that we see a lot of our customers wanting to do is they have leads coming in.
Right.
They have leads coming in through trade shows. They have leads coming in through the web. They have all kinds of different leads coming into their system, and they want to make sure that they have a repeatable process that they can guide their salespeople through to qualify those leads.
Yeah.
So all I need to do to build a workflow for that is I can click the new button, and then I can give it a name. So we'll call this lead qualification. And we tell it that we want this to run on leads.
Okay.
Right.
So you've kind of described the entities that a workflow is kind of strongly associated with. Okay, that's good, because it scopes the workflow down a little bit.
Yep.
Okay.
Now, as I mentioned, once we click OK here, you're going to be brought to the main kind of canvas of our designer. And this is a metadata-driven designer. Now, what does that mean?
Uh-huh.
That means that as you've customized your CRM system, as you've added in new entities, new relationships, new types of information, and customizations that are specific to your business, those are going to get surfaced in here.
Okay.
So you saw earlier that we were able to choose lead as the entity that this workflow ran on, but I could have as easily just chosen real estate property if I was using CRM as a real estate management
system. Yeah, so any entity in the system, right? Okay.
And we have a couple options up here that kind of define what does the workflow run on, whose records does it run on, when does it trigger. And so up there, what you'll see are some quick ways of saying, I want this workflow to run when leads are created, when certain fields on leads get updated, when leads get assigned to new people. But for this example, I think we're just going to leave the options as they are, and we're just going to say that when a new lead is created, we want to make sure that the salesperson gets a phone call assigned to them to call that lead, to follow up with them, to find out some more information, and kind of take the next steps.
So what I like about this is it's very concrete. It's easy for a non-technical person to understand, like, when this happens, this kind of triggering event, then we're going to run this.
Right.
Okay, good.
So when I click Add Step here, what you're going to see is you're going to see a toolbox of custom activities that we've built. So these are what you might call domain-specific activities.
Okay.
And these are nothing more than WebF activities that call into our SDK.
Okay.
So they're issuing standard SDK calls against our platform. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to say create a record. So that's going to allow me to choose an entity that I'll create the record on. And I'm going to choose a phone call here.
All right.
And you know what? I'm just going to enter a quick description here that says, assign a phone call to the owner of the lead. And when I click Set Properties here, what you're also going to see is the form that's coming from our metadata store.
Nice. Okay.
Now, what's cool about this is although this form is not customized, we have a drag-and-drop, point-and-click, easy-to-use form designer.
Okay.
So as I'm customizing my schema, changing my form layout, changing the information that reflects my business, all of that's going to get reflected here as well.
Cool. All right. So this is a template of the phone call that's going to be created.
Yeah.
All right. And you can kind of pre-populate it with things.
So we're a little bit smart about that in terms of, well, we know kind of what's the context of this workflow, and so we've already populated the lead there.
Yeah.
But what you probably want to do is you want to give the salesperson the phone number of the lead so they don't need to go searching around for it. So on that phone number field, what I can go in here and quickly do is I can just say, let me add in a dynamic value for telephone 1 and click OK. And click OK.
There you go.
And there it goes. And so we have what we call dynamic expressions for this. So you don't need to actually be writing code, but you can kind of point and click your way to doing this.
Okay.
Now, I can just enter a quick subject here. So follow up phone call with the lead. And then I can quickly, again, just like I did with the phone call, I can put in their first name and their last name. So I can go in there and I can go first name, boom, last name.
Now, my brother is a salesperson.
Yep.
And he's always complaining about CRM products.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I got to show this to him. This is something he could do.
Yep.
He's not a developer at all, but he could totally do this.
So what's interesting about this is not only can your business analyst types of users create these and create them for the entire organization,
right?
But if your brother, who's a salesperson, is using CRM and he kind of has his own way of handling leads and he wants to make sure that he's reminded to do certain things at certain points in time,
right?
But it's just specific to him, he can also create workflows.
He can totally do it.
So we have a model here where we want to say everybody from your end user to your developer can create workflows in our system.
So the thing is, I know my brother, because what he would do is he would get so far with this and he'd be like, yeah, this is good, but I want to do this,
right,
or I want to do something that's beyond what I can do with this point and click thing.
Yep.
So he would say, hey, Ron, can you write some code that does this?
Yeah,
so can I actually modify these workflows that are created here?
Yeah, so what's really interesting about this, Ron, is the workflows that you're creating through our web designer, under the hood, they're just spinning on XAML.
Ah, okay.
So kind of serendipitous that you asked that question.
Yeah.
Because what I have here is another workflow where in orange here I have some kind of the workflow that was spit out from our web designer, and this is just all XAML under the hood.
Yeah.
But we have some more complex logic where what we've actually done is we've taken that XAML, we've thrown it into Visual Studio, we've used the fantastic new WebF4 designer, and we've kind of wrapped that in some other interesting things there. So not only does this allow me to start my workflows in the web designer, but then I can leverage all the great tools that ship with WebF, with VS, and I can
continue
to leverage those skills.
What's really great about this model is, like, you know, there's other people who've got kind of similar things to what you should with the with the salesperson kind of customizer thing. But, you know, it's in their kind of proprietary thing, it's in their own language, or it's all metadata, and there's really no way that a programmer can extend it. What's beautiful about this is that because you just spew out XAML, we can load in Visual Studio, and I can extend it. Now, when I extend it, and then we save it back, we can put it back in the system, and then he can use it, right?
Yeah, so we actually, this one I've actually already put back into the system. And so what I did there is I kind of took a basic workflow that sends an email to a customer of an auto dealership saying, change your oil.
Yeah.
And we've kind of done some extra logic in there to say, send this every 3 months, and we use some of the cool things with local variables in my workflow. And so we push that one back into CRM.
Yeah.
And this one's just kicking off instances.
And it just runs there.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay, cool. Now we've built it, we saved it. Let's see it. Let's see it work. Now you got to publish it or what?
Well, you know what? I actually already have this one published. And this is the one that I just showed you in VS.
Okay.
And so once it's published, that means that it's just going to start kicking off instances.
Right.
So the one from VS is actually on the contacts.
Okay.
And so it's saying whenever a new contact is added,
all right,
we want to kick off that workflow. And so what I'll do here is I'll say enter our first name for the contact, and we'll enter an email. And when we save that, you'll see that if we go to this workflows link here, I can see all the different workflows that are running on this contact.
Ah, cool.
So this one's just started, and it's in progress. It's sent the initial email. So if we go to the closed activities here, you'll see the email that we sent. This contains some of the information just about the customer, and it's sending it to the right person, etc. And you'll notice now that when we go back, this one is in progress, and it's waiting to run again 3 months from now. So the scenario is...
Okay, beautiful.
We want you to change your oil every 3 months.
It'll
we want to make sure
keep
that,
reminding.
Yep,
yeah.
Absolutely.
So then if they call you and say, stop sending me those stupid emails, you can go and delete this one. Or
if you have some information on the contact, you could also say, you know, this person did not opt into the email. And if that's the case, just this workflow just kind of goes to the end. And
awesome.
That's it. Yeah.
Well, Stephen, it's been really great seeing this from the PM perspective and the requirements, all that. What, but you brought with you today a couple of your developers.
I did,
And so I want to hear from them. So why don't we bring them in, and when we come back, we're going to have a couple new guys here.
All right.
Hey, we're back, and I'm joined by Gonzalo and Nirav, and you guys are devs on the project, and so a lot of people are watching this, of course, are developers, so I wanted to get the kind of developer perspective. Congratulations, by the way. That looks really cool, what you guys have built.
Cool. Glad you did it.
You know, so you guys, now you worked on the previous version of the product that used Workflow 3.5?
We kind of joined the team right as that one was finishing.
But, okay.
So we're familiar with the migration, if nothing else.
Oh, okay. So you had to learn a little bit about it, right? Because
sure.
You had to deal with it, and you know maybe now and then fix bugs and stuff, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Not that you had any, but you know.
Of course not. Devs never have bugs.
Okay. All right. So let's just begin with this decision, because it was controversial, right? I mean, you know, here we had Windows Workflow. It was what it was. In .NET 3 and 3.5, and then when we come out with .NET 4, the word is, hey, by the way, guys, we blew the whole thing up. There's a whole new workflow engine. What was your reaction like when you first heard that?
Personally, I was a bit surprised by the idea of starting from scratch. I think
yeah.
It was one of those things where we took a step back and said, is this really the right thing for us to be using as our underlying technology if they're going to be blowing the thing up every release and forcing us to start all over.
Right. That's painful.
It was certainly painful, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, and actually, you didn't have to make this change, right? Because the 3.5 stack is still supported
yep.
in .NET 4. You could have said, hey, we're just not going to change it. When you first started looking at it, did you think, no, this is worth it?
I think there were things about it that certainly seemed to make it worth it for us. Both in terms of the technology itself as well as the way we had designed on top of the 3.5
yeah.
runtime. There were some internal engineering efficiencies that we thought we could gain by moving over to the 4.0 version
uh-huh.
as well as some of the developer benefits that we thought we would get
right.
by moving over to the new technology stack.
Now, at what point did you guys start picking up the stack? Was it like beta 1 or beta 2 or even before that?
It was sometime after beta 1, before beta 2.
Okay. Yeah, so you're talking like last September, August, somewhere in there?
Even before that?
Yeah,
probably the winter.
Okay.
Yeah, we've been through a lot of changing.
Okay, so yeah.
We've seen the runtime evolve quite a bit.
Yeah. Okay, that's I think that's pre-beta one than if it was last winter.
Yeah.
So, but that's okay. I mean, you know, yeah. So, I've been dealing with this stack for a couple of years, and I remember when it kind of barely worked. But so we come a long ways. Now, in terms of you mentioned efficiency, so one of the things that the team said from the get-go was that the Workflow 4 had to be faster, had to be substantially faster, much more efficient. And so in our own kind of test labs, it looks pretty good. Have you guys found it to be faster and more efficient?
I think there are certainly aspects that we're seeing that are working faster. I think Gonzalo's in it day to day, so you can probably elaborate on the type
yeah.
of performance we're seeing.
Yeah, so something that I noticed right away is not necessarily because the runtime is going faster, but because it allows us to do a design that is more simple and has to go through less steps.
Right.
For instance, the previous version, we had to compile each workflow instance and bind the arguments and the parameters.
Mm-hmm.
So now that there's these really powerful variables and argument passing in WF4, then we don't have to do that.
Right.
So that also saves us a lot of time, besides the advantage of a faster runtime.
Now, when I spoke with some other people who have made this transition, one of the things they often say to me is, we were able to cut out a lot of code. We had a lot more lines of code in 3.5. Is that your case?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've removed a bunch of code. We've removed layers of abstraction that we had built out on top of the 3.5 runtime
mm-hmm.
to help us do some of this more dynamic model that we allow within our app, and all that stuff is now gone.
Yeah, a lot of that code was buggy, so it was really good to see it go away.
yeah, we always like to have fewer lines of code. I mean, it's less baggage to carry forward, right? So now, in the demo, we saw the workflows executing, kind of the UI telling you what's going on with it. By the way, what was that? That's a web UI that we were seeing, right?
Yep, that's a pure web UI that we've kind of built out a custom designer on top of it
uh-huh.
using just standard ASP.NET.
Wow, and it looks really slick. Now, were you using the tracking infrastructure then to pull this kind of status of what workflows are doing and that sort of thing? Or
it's actually a custom tracking mechanism that we've got right now.
Okay.
It's certainly something that we're looking at longer term to move to more of the the infrastructure that WebApp has provided underneath the covers.
Yeah. Now, one of the big problems that that you guys face, right, is that you've got an existing code base out there. People have built workflows. They've even had developers built cut modifications to workflows and published these. They got some of these that are, like the oil change one, that are running every now and then and so forth. So what's the upgrade story for your customers?
I'll let Gonzalo talk about that, given that that was a big focus of his work.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of what I did all last design milestone.
Yeah.
So probably to start with, we decided that we were not going to support the 3.5 runtime
okay.
in CRM. So meaning that every workflow that existed has to be transformed to a WF4
okay.
runtime instance. We were not going to do side by side.
Yeah.
So we had some mechanism to kind of track the progress of workflows, something like tracking our equivalent, our implementation of it.
Right.
So because we had that, that enabled us to upgrade all the workflows to a WF4 object model. Because we knew, okay, this workflow has completed up to this point.
Yeah.
So then we would be able to resume that workflow in the WF4 engine from that specific point.
Oh, okay.
So it was a bit of a challenge to get those running instances upgraded because there's no really supported upgrade story around that.
Right, right.
And it was really because of that tracking mechanism that we were able to do that.
And you also leverage the interop activity?
Then they have, that's right, they have, customers can upload their own activities. So when they upgrade, they expect that to continue working. So we just wrap all their activities in an interop activity.
Okay.
And that's working perfect.
Yeah, wow. So in the end, you feel good about the decision to move to WF4, which was the right thing?
Absolutely. I think it not only helps us in terms of our engineering, but also lets our developers continue using the skills that they're acquiring, using the latest version of .NET and building on top of CRM the way they want to.
Right, right.
I feel that it was a decision that was going to happen sooner or later. The question was more like, should we do it now?
Or right.
Should we wait for another version? But we kind of really needed that power that WF4 brings in. And as Nirav mentions, we want developers to be up to date with the technologies. When we ship the SDK, we want them to be able to upload WF4 activities to our server.
Right, right. Now, so here's a question, random question out of the blue. I don't know if you guys realized, but today, so actually today, Windows Server App Fabric Beta 2 goes live. And so App Fabric, of course, has a lot of cool things for hosting workflows and managing and whatnot, services and workflows. I realize that this might not be in your radar at all, but have you guys looked at that? Are you thinking about it?
Or? We have indeed looked at it and even talked to the App Fabric guys quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
There are some limitations with kind of our needs versus what App Fabric provides right now.
Yeah.
We're actively looking at figuring out how we can kind of feed those requirements into the App Fabric and build towards that model moving forward. Part of the biggest piece, I don't know if Stephen walked through it for us, was the fact that we actually have not only an on-premise product of CRM, but we also have an online service
that
hosts thousands of tenants that all have their own definitions of workflows.
Right.
And each of them get their workflow instances tracked within their own data store.
Yeah.
App Fabric doesn't quite let us implement that model right out of the gate.
Oh, okay.
So that's one of those things that we're trying to figure out how we can, you know, help each other get to that point where we can leverage App Fabric.
Cool. Well, I look forward to the day when that we can pull that one off.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. It'd be quite an accomplishment. Yeah.
Well, thanks so much, guys, for giving me the developer spin on this. I sure appreciate you coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, and that will do it for this episode of Endpoint TV. We'll see you next time. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.